Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Job, chapter 1. Job, chapter 1. We'll read verses 7 through 12 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Job, chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. Job 1, verses 7 through 12. While you're finishing turning there, I'm going to read verse 1 to you. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now we'll read verses 7 through 12 together responsively, and I'll start with verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, it seems like service after service, day after day, moment by moment, you seem to be here. Lord, you promised that you would be where your people are. Lord, we need you. We've seen you do so much with us already, but there's so much yet to be done. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us as we listen. Please change us so that we leave differently. Please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Tonight, I think that I will be short. It won't take long. I hope that you'll listen very carefully. I was studying, as I often do, just for the sake of study. And I was looking in the book of Job, and I noticed the ways that Satan tried to get Job discouraged and tried to get him down. I'm going to talk to you tonight about the six ways the devil tried to destroy Job. If you'll listen, it will help you. There's something I want you to understand, though. Satan wants to hurt God. You are not Satan's prime target. God is Satan's prime target. It is God who Satan ultimately hates. But Satan knows that God loves you. Satan knows that God, and he knows how much God loves you and how much you mean to God. So, Satan tries to hurt you because he knows by hurting you, it will ultimately hurt God. Satan went after Job as to hurt God. And Satan will try to use the same methods to hurt God through you that Satan used to try to hurt God through Job. The Bible, God's given us many examples. Those examples are there for our learning. And as most of you know, the story is Satan goes after Job. Boy, does he give him fits. I mean, Satan really puts it to Job. Job seems to lose most everything that he has. He keeps on going for God. And he's been chosen virtually as an example to you and I on how to handle the attack of Satan. Job, he stood up, he faced it, he did what God needed him to do. And I don't know about you, I wouldn't mind slaying Goliath by way of example. I wouldn't mind walking on the water by way of example. I wouldn't mind feeding the 5,000 by way of example. But I would have hated to have been Job, the one that was chosen to suffer like he did, and to be an example to all of us in regard to suffering. But thank God for Job. Yes. Job did what God needed him to do, and he's been a good example to us. Now, tonight, I want to show you six things that the devil will do to you and to me to try to get to God. You see, if he hurts us, it hurts God. And the devil, the same thing that he did to try to get Job down and to cause Job to be discouraged, same things that he did to Job, I think are the same things that he's going to do to us. I'm going to cover them quickly, and it won't be long. We'll be on our way home. First of all, I want you to know that Satan tried to hurt Job through his finances. Listen to this. I'll read to you from Job chapter 1. Says, I'm going to give you three verses here. It says this. It says, "And there came a messenger under Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them, took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." What happened here? Satan comes along. He says, "I'm going to get you down, Job. I'm going to figure out a way to discourage you. I'm going to figure out a way to get you off track." How's he going to do it? He says, "I'm going to hurt you financially." And that's what happened here. Job was, if you will, he was a businessman, and all of a sudden his businesses are being attacked, and he's suffering loss, and he doesn't have an income, and things are getting really tough on him. Folks, let me tell you something. I've been counseling for a long, long time. I probably counsel more about finances than I do anything else. I've counseled thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. The devil, he really doesn't have any new methods or tricks. He's been working on people in regard to their money for a long, long time. He did it back before you had the currency that we use here in the United States of America, all the way back to when they traded in cows and camels and sheep and donkeys. He has been frustrating people and trying to get them down and trying to steal their joy and trying to steal their confidence. How's he do it? He'll do it financially. There could be a husband and wife that are getting along just fine, and it seems like everything's going well, and you can have a financial setback or struggle, and all of a sudden there's tension in the marriage, and we're fussing and we're not getting along. I'll promise you, the devil, there's nothing new under the sun. That's what he did. Finances can cause struggles in our families, and finances can cause struggles in our relationships. And oh my, finances can cause struggles in churches and ministries. So what do we do? Hey, let's not be blind to it. If it happened to Job, couldn't it happen to you and I? Yes, absolutely. And how does he do it? I don't think it's always that this, a tornado comes and destroys our home. I think sometimes Satan just gets to convincing us to buy things that we can't afford, to spend money that we should not spend. We're not wise with our money. I need to tell y'all something. You know, America is trying to convince you to buy what you want. Can I give you a little advice? Can I advise you to buy what you need? I hope, and Mrs. Owens and I are not unsatisfied with our home, but we didn't buy the home we wanted. We bought the home we could afford. I think we paid I'm not going to tell you how much, but when we bought our home, it's not our dream home. 1,300 square feet. Matter of fact, I think it's the smallest home we've ever had. But we could afford the payment. We're not out in the snow. Well, if I'm in trouble, I have to go to the back porch for a little while, but America says you get what you want, but you better get what you can afford. And you've been hearing me say that for years. But listen, folks, be careful now. If Satan was smart enough back then to say, "I'll get you, Job, I'll affect you, I'll discourage you, I'll get you down," and he used finances to do it, don't you think he's going to do that to you and I? Don't be shocked at it. Don't be shocked that the devil doesn't attack your finances. And don't be shocked. Hey, get control of those credit cards. Get control. I'm really glad of something, and I'm not glad that this has happened to you. If you're trying to borrow money to buy a house or a car, and it's real hard to borrow, I'm not glad that you can't borrow what you need, but I'm glad America is not lending money like she used to. Because sometimes I don't think we have the character, the good sense, to borrow it the right way. Be careful now, I just want to help you, but any of us that know anything about stress, boy, finances can cause stress. Let's be careful. Let's be cautious. Why? Because Job was attacked in the area of his finances. Number two, I see that the devil tried to get Job down as a result of his family and his family situation. Let me read to you in verse number 18 and 19 here of Job chapter 1. And it says this, while he was yet speaking, there came also another, and there came also another said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking in thy eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee what happened. Folks, because our families, they mean so much to us, our sons, our daughters, our husbands, our wives, our parents, the devil knows, I can hurt you with your family. I have a way of getting you down and discouraging you about it. And so, folks, let me tell you something. There's nothing new under the sun. If the devil would go to Job, said, I'm gonna hurt you. Now, his ultimate goal is not you. His ultimate goal is God. But he went to Job and he attacked Job in his finances. Then he goes after Job and his family. Then don't you be shocked that the devil doesn't try to mess up your marriage. Why, sure he's going to try to mess up your marriage. That's nothing new. He's been doing it this way for a long time. He's been trying to mess up families for a long time. And so, hey, as you look at it, I want you to realize something. You know, if you're not getting along with your husband or you're not getting along with your wife, could I tell you who's ultimately behind it? Old smutty face. The old devil's behind it. Stop and realize. You say, well, my wife seems to be my enemy right now, or my husband seems to be my enemy right now. Let me tell you who your enemy is. It's a devil. He's doing the same old thing. He's trying to hurt you and cause you to suffer. I know you're being hurt as a result of it, but God loves you and God wants your family strong. And so the devil comes along and says, I'll hurt God by hurting their marriage. I'll hurt God by hurting their family. You know, the Bible tells us in Job 2:9, let me read it to you real quickly here. Mrs. Job, or Job's wife, it says this, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Now, I can't tell you the whole story there as to why she said what she said. There are different opinions about it. Some feel like that she turned her back on God completely, and now she's saying, Job, you know, just curse God and die, and she's got a bad attitude. Some say, Job, maybe she was saying, Job, you're suffering so much, won't you curse God and die and get this suffering over with and let God go ahead and take you to heaven. I can't tell you everything that Job's wife was trying to say, because there ain't no man that can totally interpret what a woman's trying to tell you. But, you know, it's not what she says, it's what she means when she says it. And you gotta figure that out. I've never been able to figure that out. And so, there's two ways to understand a woman. And I don't understand either one of the two ways. And so, now, but in this story here, don't you see what's happening? The devil goes after Job. You and I have heard the story time and time again. When he goes after Job, he said, I'll get you down by way of your finances. Now, if he would do that to Job, don't you think he'd do that to you and I? And then he said, I'm going to get you down in regard to your family, and I'll try to make you miserable in your marriage, and I'll try to make you miserable even with your children. Folks, let me tell you something. If one of your children do something and they embarrass you, don't you let your child's behavior embarrass you away from God. Don't you let that happen. Folks, every last one of us need to pull together and realize we're a family and we're just trying to do right. And boy, the one child today, somebody else's child tomorrow, we're rearing kids around here and the devil's messing with them. Let's stick together and love each other, and let's help each other, and let's support each other. And whatever you do, don't let the devil get into that thing. He's trying to ruin us. He's our ultimate enemy. Hey, your wife's not your enemy. Your husband husband's not your enemy. Mom and dad are not your enemy. No, not at all. The devil is the enemy. And he is trying to hurt God by hurting you. He's trying to hurt God by destroying your marriage. He's trying to hurt God by messing up your family relationship. We've got to stick together. You'll even find there'll be times when you'll have family outside the church that won't understand you. You go to church on Wednesday night. What's wrong with you? How crazy can that be? They're not going to understand you. You're going to have struggles. You know, it's a wonderful thing. We have large families. We have mom and dad and the grandchildren and sons and daughters and big families here in our church. Well, let me tell you something. Don't you think the devil would like to cause one of your family members to get upset with somebody else in the church and then to leave the church and the devil lead all the whole family right out of the church? That's where you got to be careful now. Don't you let the devil mess you up. He knows how to do it. He'd been messing with families for a long time. He'd been messing with marriages and sons and daughters and relationships with moms and dads. It's nothing new. Nothing new under the sun. Not only do I see that the devil attacked Job in his finances and he attacked him in his family. He attacked his flesh. He attacked his body. I'll read to you again from Job chapter 2. In Job 2 verse 4. Oh, I'm going to read three or four verses here. You listen and I'll read them to you. It says this. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. So the devil comes along and he attacks Job now in his body, his flesh. Remember, Satan is trying to get Job down. Satan's trying to discourage Job. Not because Job is the prime target, but because God loves Job. Satan's going to hurt God through Job. He attacked his finances. He attacked his family. Now he's attacking his flesh. What's he doing? Trying to make him miserable. He'd like to use sickness to hurt Job. He'd like to use sickness to get Job down. He'd like to use sickness to get Job out of God's will. Now, you hear me say this all the time, and I'll keep on saying it. There's some people that would say, well, if somebody's sick, that's the judgment of God. Well, it may or may not be, but you're not God, and you're not the one that can make that call. It's not your job to say that someone's sick and it's a judgment of God. Now, if you're sick, you can go ahead and call that the judgment of God if you would like. That's up to you. But I'd recommend that you leave everybody else alone, because Jesus suffered as no man, and he never did anything against God. He was perfect. There are many that have suffered who were righteous, and the Bible teaches that some suffer as an example of the grace of God. It's not always that if somebody's sick, that's the punishment of God. That's a bunch of tomfoolery. That's not what the Bible teaches here. But I'll tell you this, folks, we got to keep on going. Be careful that when sickness comes to your body, that you do what you can for God. Now, we might get sick. We might not be able to do now what we once could. But as long as we're alive, there's still something we could do. You say, how do you know that? Because when God's done with you, he'll take you on to heaven. That's what he'll do. When God's done with you, he'll take you to heaven. You say, well, I'm alive and I'm not as well as what I wish. Well, if you're alive, then you're well enough to do something for God. And oh my, sickness can kind of steal our spirit. And let me remind you, a sick body does not mean that you have to have a sick attitude. I know people that are not well and they still have the joy of the Lord and they're still trying to serve God and do something. Hey, be as faithful as you can. I've watched people, and let me warn you, I've watched people get sick. I've watched their sickness keep them at home. And I mean validly, where there are some issues that keep them from coming in public. But I've watched them be out of church long enough that they had a hard time getting back in the routine of being in church. And the devil used the time to get them backslidden. Hey, if you're ever going to be out of church for a season, you ought to be interested in what's happening down here. You ought to have somebody get you every sermon. You ought to listen to every sermon. You ought not be sitting around on Sunday morning and watching some sitcom instead of reading your Bible or something. You shouldn't get in the lazy liberal life just because you're sick. But because the devil will use that, just like he did with Job. The Bible says that Job ended up with boils from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. What was the devil doing? The devil said, I'll get you, Job. I'll get God through you, Job. How are you going to do it? I'm going to do it through finances. I'm going to do it through family. I'm going to do it through your flesh. And then, I believe that he tried to do it through his friends. I think he tried to use Job's friends to get Job down. I'm going to again read to you from Job chapter 2. I'll read verse number 11 to you, and the Bible says this. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. The Bible says, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. You say, well, Brother Owens, that doesn't sound like his friends were getting him down. They came to comfort him. You can find out a few chapters later that Job says to his friends, miserable comforters ye are. Because the next thing you know, they are discouraging him. They are casting doubt on him and on God and on the goodness of God. And Job had to take this beating that was coming to him from his friends. And so the devil come after your finances. He'll come after your family. He'll come after your flesh. And then watch out. Oh boy, watch out, because friends can mess us up. Friends, hey, a good, solid, spiritual friend, boy, they can mean so much to your Christian life. But a sad friend, a friend that's not in love with Jesus, they'll hurt you. They'll hurt you bad. Friends can make you or break you. You know, I look around and I think about a lot of our teenagers in our church. You could get any teenager in our church one-on-one and you'd think, my, are they good kids? My, do they have good manners? Do they have good behavior? But there are a few of them, if you mix them together, they become like negative dynamite. And what happens? Do you just get together with the wrong kind of person and they draw the flesh out of you and draw that carnality out of you? And most of you, I'm telling you, our kids could be good kids if they could just learn how to pick the right crowd. If they'd run with the right person. And young people, I'm proud of you. You could do it, but you gotta learn how to do that. Hey, you're not being mean to someone when you say, I don't want to hear that. I'm not gonna talk like that. I'm not doing that anymore. Hey, I believe that friends will make you or break you in the Christian life. We've got to learn when to separate from friends. I believe this. I think that you and I should be friendly to everyone. I don't think we ought to be best friends with everybody. That's just the way it is. Hey, that element of time that we call best friend time, it has to change from time to time, because friends get backslidden and get away from God. You have to be willing to say, that person's not living for God. I have to distance myself. It doesn't mean that I hate them. It doesn't mean that I don't love them. It means that I'm obeying the Bible and I'm separating. I'll pray for them. I'll love them. I'll be friendly. But I can't sit in their room with them when I visit their house and listen to their bad music with them. Can't do that. I can't do that. It's very clear. The devil went after Job's finances. He went out after his family. He went after his flesh. And he went after him with his friends. I believe this, and I believe this completely. The human race is extremely, extremely insecure. Women will marry wrongly, just not to be alone. I gotta have a man. People everywhere. People can't even go to the washroom by themselves. We're just so insecure. But you all listen to me. You're better off with no friends than with bad friends. You're better off with no friends than bad friends. But we're just so insecure. Parents, we got to teach our children to walk alone. Walk alone. Nobody else wants to do right. I'm going to do right. And I'm not telling us to be rude or crude. I'm telling us we've got to learn to stand alone. And if we'll do that, then our friends won't pull us down. You say, well, if you're a teenager, you say, well, preacher, who am I going to be friends with? Won't you try your mama? Be a friend to your mama and be a friend to your daddy. Be a friend to Jesus. And I believe that teenagers ought to fall in love with Jesus and fall in love with mom and fall in love with dad. I'm not a condoner of all these teenage heart throbs and relationships. Fall in love with Jesus, teenager. You learn to love Jesus and learn to love mom and learn to love dad. Later on in life, we'll find you a fella. We'll find you a man. It'll happen. But you know how the devil is. He's smart. He's smart. He gets us through our friends. Not only our friends, I think he tried to hurt Job through destroying his faith. Wanted to destroy his faith. Again, I'm going to read to you from Job chapter number 13. And Job 13, I think it is verse 15, it says this. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What's happening here? I think for some reason Job said, I'm going to have to keep my trust in God. What's he talking about? I've got my faith in God. I still trust God. No matter what has come upon me, I'm going to keep my faith in God. Now, folks, let me tell you all something. If we're not careful, you and I, we begin to wonder if God knows what he's doing. Well, he does. God knows what he's doing. You say, oh, what I'm facing, Brother Owens, God's not good. Oh, yes, he is. God's always good. You say, God has forgotten me. He has not. God has not forgotten you. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, he may not be giving you what you demand because God sometimes is smarter than you. God knows what we need. God loves you. God helps you. God's there. God's integrity should not be on trial with you. And Job, he made that statement there. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You see, the devil wanted to mess up Job's faith in God. The devil wanted to make it so that Job's faith would be tempted to give up and give out. Hey, don't stop trusting God, my friend. Don't lose faith in God. Believe God is good. Believe God is still in charge. Believe that God knows what God is doing. Don't undo in doubt what you have done for God in faith. Keep your faith in God. Hey, serving God is the best way. Serving God. You say, well, Brother Owens, I got saved and somebody had told me if I'd get saved and I'd get up close to God that everything was going to be perfect. Well, I have to tell you this. You're going to go to heaven now that you're saved. And things get easier. And there are things that you can, that will happen in your life. There'll be great blessings. But the devil don't like it that you're saved. There's going to be some trial. There's going to be some tribulation. And may I say to you, there may be difficulties being saved and going to the church and serving God, but it's not as difficult as being in the world. It's not. Why? Because you don't have to do it on your own. You have a church family and you have a God and you have a Bible that's true that will guide you. But don't lose faith in God. There's a reason why Job said right there in Job 13:15, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He said, whatever comes my way, I will keep my faith in God. I will believe what God said is true. I'm glad Job said that. But folks, let's face it. Whatever Job faced, that's what we face. I love this book. It is so down to earth and practical. It just tells me about our everyday life and our everyday way of living. The devil's going to try to get your faith and get you to doubting God. The devil is going to try to get you messed up by your friendships. He's going to try to get your flesh and get your body down. He's going to try to get you through the family and get you through the finances. And then I believe this. I believe that the devil tried to steal from Job his hope for his future. His future. I'll read to you again from Job chapter 42, the very last chapter, I think, of the book of Job. Verse number 10, it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And it says at the end, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. I have to tell you, Job did go through a lot. And Job had to work at this thing of keeping his eyes on God. In the end, God gives Job twice as much as what he had before. But can you imagine to that point how the devil could have brought hopelessness into Job's life about his future? Think about it. Here's Job, probably one of the richest and most capable men on the face of the earth. He loses his entire fortune, his entire business, for all practical purpose, his wife, all of his children die, all of his friends turn on him. He had it all, and he lost it all, except for his integrity. I guess you could kind of get a little hopeless about the future. in my studies, and some of the biblical historians, they would say that there's a possibility at this time in Job's life, he might have been as old as 70 or 80 years of age. Now, when you're 80 and you lose everything, that's enough to make you panic a little bit. You know, you're looking forward to possibly selling the business and letting the kids take care of you a little bit and have them come mow the yard and wheel you around and take care of you. Well, he lost his kids, so there's nobody to take care of him when he's old. He didn't have any money. He lost it all. I'm going to tell you what the devil will come and do to you. He'll come and do something to you, and he has a way of stealing our hope. See, Job's future was being tampered with. We can mess up. Okay, let's say that we sin. We bring it on ourselves. The devil will come and say, that's it, you're done. God will never use you again. Let me tell you something. God is a God of a second chance. And a third chance. And a fourth chance. And a fifth chance. And all sorts of people ought to be saying amen, because we're approaching the number of chances that you need. And a sixth, and a seventh, and an eighth, and a ninth, and a tenth. Thank God that God gives us another chance. But the devil comes along to Job, and do you see what he did? When you steal a man's, when you take that, when he lost all of his kids, well, who was going to carry on the family name? Now, that might not be a real big deal to you today, but back in this day, the family name and carrying on the family name, it was a real big deal. Everybody wanted a man child so that man child could carry on the name, so he could carry on the family business. And Job say, well, I don't need any boys to carry on the family business because I don't have a business. I don't have any boys. Now, don't you think there were nights when Job thinking, what? I don't have my health. I don't have my wife. I don't have my kids. I don't have my business. I don't have a future. But you know something? God was in Job's future. God came along and God gave him twice what he had before. You say, did God give him 20 kids? No, he gave him 10 more because he already had 10 in heaven. You know, you could burn a house down, may never see that again, but your kids, you'll see them again someday. They just transferred. They transferred from down here to up there. God gave them a few more here on this earth. You see, God wants us to have hope for the future. And if the devil's come to you for whatever reason, you say, Brother Owens, I faced a financial catastrophe. I'll never be able to rebuild. Never is a pretty big word, folks. And never is really not in God's vocabulary. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. Have faith in God. And we have a future. Don't you let the devil steal away from you the hope of the future. You see, Satan wants to hurt God. And God loves you. So Satan tries to get at God by hurting you. Don't let these six things that Satan used on Job, don't let these six things, don't let Satan use them on you. Don't let him steal your joy and your drive and your desire and your faithfulness and your loyalty and your love to God. Don't let him do it. He's going to try. You say, how? Through your finances, through your family, through your flesh, through your friends, through your faith, and through robbing you of your future. But finally, may I say, God created you to spend eternity with him so that you could love him and worship him. Now, Satan would like for you to go to hell. You say, why? Not just so you go to hell, but your absence in heaven will hurt God. Remember, Satan's ultimate goal is he's after God. Your going to hell is a byproduct of Satan's desire of hurting God. If you were in heaven, you would spend your eternity loving him, worshiping him, and serving him. If you go to hell, you don't get to do that. That hurts God. Yes. If you're not saved, don't let Satan hurt God by taking you to hell. Get saved. Get saved. Get saved tonight. Let's spoil Satan's plan. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is to those of you that may not be born again. If you died tonight and you're not 100% sure you're saved, I wish you'd get saved tonight. Is there anybody that would say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. If I died tonight, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I need to be born again." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me. I don't want to die and go to hell." If you're here and you're not saved, I wish you'd come tonight. Let us take the Bible and show you how to be born again. Hey, is it the finances, my friend? Is the devil getting on you and getting to you through the finances? Is that the case? Who here would pray? Say, "Preacher, pray for me. The finances have become heavy. Pray for me." Will you raise your hand? God bless you. I will. I'll pray for you. But don't be shocked about it now. It was happening through the Bible. It's happening to you. Look at it realistically and say, "That's just a devil trying to get me down." Who here would say, "There's some family struggles. There's some family." That doesn't mean you have a bad marriage or anything, but you say, "There's some family struggles." Maybe it's outside your immediate family, but there's some family struggles and the devil's trying to use it against us, trying to get us down. Would you raise your hand? Boy, there are hands up all over the place already. God bless you. Who would say, "It's my flesh. The sickness and the illness is upon me and the devil tries to steal my joy. Pray for me, preacher, that my flesh does not get me down in the sickness." Who would raise your hand again? God bless you, folks. Hang in there. Hey, how about friends? Maybe you've had friends turn on you. Maybe you've got some friends in life that you're saying, "Oh my, I'm going to have to make some moves. I love them, but I just can't spend so much time with them. They're hurting me." Who would say, "Friends, I need to work on some friendship situations." God bless you. How about your faith? Has the devil worked on you and almost got you to the point where you're thinking God's not good and God's forgotten about you and God's unfair to you? Who would say, "My faith has been weakened, but I see it now. I see what the devil's doing." You say, it's the faith thing. God bless you. And then finally, how about the future? Has the devil kind of stolen some hope from you where you just look out into the future and you say, I just don't see how I'm going to do anything for God and how I'm going to succeed and how we can make it and how can we do it? Don't you let the devil steal your future. If you're alive, God has something good on the horizon for you. Who would say, "That future thing gets me down sometimes, preacher"? Raise your hand. God bless you. I see him. God bless you, my friend. God bless you. Our Father, please take the sermon tonight and use it to help people. Use it tonight that we would be wise to the devil's devices. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And if you need the altar, you come. Don't be afraid to leave that balcony, go down the stairs, come back in and kneel at the altar. Kneel at the altar and ask for strength with the finances, changes with the friends, strength for your body, for the flesh. Don't give up on your future. Come and say, "God, help our family. Help our family." He will. God can help you. You can do it. You can make it. You can take it. Somebody here tonight, in regard to your family, you just need to say, "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I'm gonna believe that God can do it." Don't lose your hope. There's nothing new under the sun. The same way that the devil came after Job is the way the devil comes after you and I. Don't lose your faith in God. Somebody may need to come and rededicate their life tonight. choir one more time through the song, please. We have some names yet being taken. One more time.